Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will speak live to attorney Shayla Agnorhadi, founder and president of the board of the Restorative Center in Newburgh. She'll discuss the upcoming Week of Restorative Justice in Hudson from August 15th through 21st. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves.
Controlled.
On air, in air, channel.
Connection.
And the moon
turns to blood.
A stream runs through.
This is the network.
Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
Network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
Network.
This is the
news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out or tune in Wednesday, August 10th to another show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Live. There'll be performances from Jeffrey Silverstein, Camp St. Helene, and Will Stratton, and a DJ set from Stadiums and Shrines, a live web stream and broadcast on 90.7 and WGXC.org. Jeffrey Silverstein is a songwriter living in Portland, while Will Stratton is from Beacon, and Camp St. Helene are from Catskill. The show is from 8 to 11 p.m. Wednesday, August 10th. You can turn out in person at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, or tune in on 90.7 FM or on a web stream at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Berkshire Eagle reports that the city of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, on August 8th, implemented mandatory water restrictions that will last from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day. The water restriction plan, according to a news release from the city, is part of its Stage 2 drought management plan. It will help ensure an adequate supply of water for fire protection and emergency response services. Quote, over the last month, we have identified a steep trend in the water level at the Cleveland Reservoir, and together with scarce significant rain, we have made the decision to establish a drought watch, unquote, said Ricardo Morales, commissioner of the Pittsfield Department of Public Services and Utilities. While the water restrictions are in effect, limited activities include the use of water out of doors, such as watering lawns and gardens, washing vehicles, and filling swimming pools. However, these activities will be allowed during the off-peak hours and on alternating days. Even-numbered addresses may water on even days of the month, while odd-numbered addresses may water on odd days of the month. Restrictions will be enforced by the Department of Public Services and Utilities. Violators will be fined. The first violation will result in a written warning. A $50 fine will be issued for a second violation, and a $300 fine will result for subsequent violations. Quote, with these measures in place, the main goal is to slow the decline and ensure adequate water supply, unquote, Morales said. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that the village of Catskill's water system leaked about 1,500 gallons of aluminum salts into the Potick Creek in Coxsackie on August 7th. The creek is not a source of human drinking water, though countless animals rely on the water. The village of Catskill's water supply comes from the Potick Reservoir on Schoharie Turnpike in Coxsackie, with the plant on Potick Creek Road. Aluminum salt, or alum, is used by water treatment plants to clarify drinking water. New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is investigating the spill, working to stop the flow into the Potick Creek, and collecting dead fish. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Carrowtown officials are moving forward with heating and air conditioning upgrades at Carrowtown Hall. The town board voted unanimously on August 1st to enter into a contract with the Barton and Lodiges engineering firm, agreeing to pay them $43,000 for the design phase of the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning project, and a maximum of $21,100 for the bidding and construction phases of the work. The engineering firm has determined that the building's existing HVAC equipment is in fair condition, but it's past its useful life. Quote, the existing systems are not energy efficient, and it is recommended that they be replaced with a new, more energy efficient system, unquote, according to Barton and LaJuice's report. The firm recommended the installation of a pair of new variable air volume rooftop air handling units, a new split-system variable air volume air handler in the building's mechanical room, variable air volume boxes with hot water heating coils, new ductwork distribution, and a high-efficiency condensing boiler system using propane. The cost of the project is expected to be $335,000. The town will pay for the renovation work with an American Rescue Plan Act funding. Carrowtown Supervisor Jason Watts said the building will remain open while the HVAC repairs are underway. More about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Patricia R. Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Republican Mark Molinaro vaguely claimed August 5th that he would oppose efforts by Congress to pass anti-abortion legislation if he was elected to represent the 19th Congressional District. But he also said during a debate with Democrat Pat Ryan, put on by the newspaper, that he is pro-life and that the recent Supreme Court ruling made it an issue for the states, not Congress. Molinaro said, and I quote, I don't believe after the Supreme Court decision that the federal government or Congress has much of a role at all. The federal government's role has been severely limited by the Supreme Court decision, and therefore it is now an issue that returns to the state governments. We may not agree that we like that, but that is the way in which this constitutional democracy works, end quote. Molinaro did not say specifically how he would vote on a national measure to ban abortion that is expected if Republicans win control of Congress, nor did he say how he would vote on a measure to protect abortion rights nationally, which is expected if Democrats retain control of Congress. Abortion services are widely popular, with voters in conservative Kansas voting last week to retain the medical procedure there. Most Republican politicians, such as Molinaro, oppose abortion, and after the Kansas vote are attempting to downplay their own opinions on the issue. Molinaro called for, and I quote, thoughtful limitations, end quote, on when an abortion can take place, and criticized Ryan's support for late-term abortions, which Molinaro said need to be, and I quote, scaled to necessity only, end quote. Ryan disagreed. Ryan said, and I quote, I cannot tell you the number of times on the campaign trail across this district, in the most rural and suburban parts of this district, people have literally broken into tears in response to fundamental rights being ripped away by your party and the far-right Republican Party that is increasing, looking at Kansas just a few days ago as an example, disconnected from reality on the ground, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, what I believe and what I believe the vast preponderance of Americans who believe in freedom and privacy as enshrined in our Constitution believe is that government, especially a bunch of men, have no place in making those decisions, end quote. Molinaro and Ryan are in a special election August 13th through August 23rd to finish the final few weeks of Democrat Antonio Delgado's New York 19 term. Other candidates are running at the same time to represent the new 19th district in Congress starting next year. The winner of the Ryan Molinaro election won't vote on the abortion issue in the few weeks they will hold office. But if either win in the different general elections in November, they could. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Sam Rizzo reports for News10.com that Philly's Deli and Bakery is poised to open a third location in Columbia County. According to a post on Philly's Facebook page, the new location will be at Tilden Plaza in New Lebanon. Quote, we recently purchased Tilden Plaza in New Lebanon, and we are excited to bring life back to this historic building, unquote, according to the post. Quote, this location will be a full-service, affordable, everyday market, unquote. The new location will include a full deli, a butcher, a Jersey bakery, fresh produce, dairy products, and a frozen and grocery section. An opening date has not been announced yet. Philly has two other locations in Columbia County, in Valencia at 3019 Main Street and in Claverick at 6 Park Street. Read more about this story at News10.com.
The Poughkeepsie Journal reports that New York will no longer ban state prison inmates from reading a book about the 1971 Attica Correctional Facility uprising after the author filed a First Amendment lawsuit. But state officials said they will continue to censor a two-page map of Attica from the Pulitzer Prize-winning book because of security reasons. Author Heather Ann Thompson, a historian and professor at the University of Michigan, sued New York's prisons in March because her 2016 book, Blood in the Water, The Attica Uprising of 1971, was not allowed in prisons. The book is about a prison uprising to protest years of mistreatment where 39 inmates and staff died. No law enforcement officers were put on trial for their role in the massacre, and inmates accused of crimes were granted pardons and amnesty. Thompson said in a statement when the lawsuit was filed, and I quote, people have a right to read, and people have a right to history. We also have a right to have our books read. It's a shame we live in a country where we censor people and ideas, end quote. The state attorney general's office announced the policy change in a letter to a U.S. judge in Manhattan, but said only paperback copies of the book where the map can be removed will be allowed in prisons. And now if a correctional facility rejects a request for an order of the book, prison officials must tell Thompson. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 88 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 65 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 82 degrees.
and Wednesday night a chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, August 9th, tune in to all sort of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, WGXC.org, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll speak live with Shaley Agnaharity, the founder and president of the board of the Restorative Center in Newburgh, about the upcoming Week of Restorative Justice. And then at 10 a.m., we head to Catskill to hear from Corey McClassland and his Forgotten Geek program. 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix Show, with tracks this week from Jesus Magusha, Ravi Avni, and Klaus Hoshigan. At noon on the Overlook Show, Rob Saffer has some new beats to beat the heat live from Ulster County. And then 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Art Hour, this week featuring tracks from Jesse Kudler, Graham Stephenson, and Derek Bailey. At 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show, Randall Martin is speaking with 2 congressional candidates, Jamie Chaney, a Democrat running in a primary election through August 23rd, and Mark Molinaro, the current Republican Dutchess County executive, who is running against the Ulster County executive, a Democrat, Pat Ryan, to fill the remaining few weeks of Representative Antonio Delgado's New York 19 post after he left to become lieutenant governor. Tune in for all that and more on Tuesday, August 9th on WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Listening to WGXC 90.7. And when I'm coming home from the turnip picking, I like to listen to the Battlefield Earth program. Boy, that guy's got some sensibility about him, doesn't he? Every Tuesday night at 9:30. It's crazy out there.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, August 9th. 71 degrees in Lexington and 76 in Kingston early this morning. Soil is at 75 degrees. More heat warnings are out, of course, when we are getting a lesson in dew points today and tomorrow. Today is going to be horrible. Chance of storms form at 8 a.m. and dissipate by 5 p.m. A high of 89 happens at 2 p.m. Humidity will be high. Dew points in the mid-70s. Overnight, temperatures fall to 62 degrees, but it will be muggy. Wednesday should be more comfortable with dew points in the mid-60s and a high of 85 at 4 p.m. Slight chance for isolated showers in the afternoon. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a hot Thursday with a high of 87, dew points still in the low 60s. Overnight may reach decent sleeping weather conditions and a low of 58. Friday is looking dry with a high of 80. Pollen levels for today will be medium low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:37 a.m., low tide at 7:45 a.m., high tide again at 1:16 p.m., and low tide once again at 7:47 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:53 a.m. Looking way up, we see another chunky plasma stream is due to reach Earth tonight. Solar wind speed is currently 544 kilometers per second at 9.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 2 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 63. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Again, dehumidifier, go check it!
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jack Sensabaugh of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy and historic times.
The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
In her role as President of the Senate, Vice President Kamala Harris helped pass the Inflation Reduction Act Sunday. The $430 billion legislation intends to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and lower drug prices. Democrats say the spending will be offset by $740 billion in new revenues from increased IRS enforcement and corporate tax hikes. The vote came after a weekend voterama, where Democrats defeated several Republican amendments. Those included a proposal to allow oil and gas leases in the Gulf of Mexico, an effort to continue the COVID-era Title 42 immigration policy, and an amendment from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham to nix an oil import fee.
Every barrel of imported oil and petroleum and every barrel of crude oil to be refined in America will have an additional 16.4 cents per barrel tax increase. This is insane. This is stupid.
Vermont's Bernie Sanders backed raising the corporate tax rate for large companies to pay for expanded child tax credits through 2026.
We made significant progress in lowering childhood poverty in America with the establishment of a child tax credit, but unfortunately, that was not continued.
That was also voted down. Nonpartisan analysts report the bill would have a minor effect on inflation, while Republicans assert it will undermine the economic recovery by hurting job creation and increasing prices. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called it a defining legislative victory for the 21st century.
To Americans who've lost faith that Congress can do big things, this bill is for you.
It now heads to likely approval in the House. President Joe Biden said he looks forward to signing it. The president travels to Kentucky today to meet with families hit by deadly flooding. His first trip since testing positive for COVID. He tested negative for a second consecutive day Sunday. New York Mayor Eric Adams condemned Texas Governor Greg Abbott for what Democrats call a dangerous political stunt, sending buses of asylum seekers to the city.
This is horrific when you think about what the governor is doing, the governor of Texas, after months traveling across the border, placing on the bus with no direction.
Israel and Palestinian militants agreed to a ceasefire following the worst fighting in Gaza since an 11-day war last year. Since Friday, Israeli aircraft have pummeled targets in Gaza, while the Iran-backed Palestinian Islamic Jihad has fired hundreds of rockets in response. The violence has killed 43 Palestinians. Tesla founder Elon Musk says his bid to acquire Twitter for $44 billion could still go ahead if the social platform disclosed how it tracks fake accounts. He's calling for a public debate on Twitter with the company's CEO. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 2nd, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court upheld Act 77, a bill allowing mail-in voting for all citizens, which passed with bipartisan support in 2019. The big lie caused some of the legislators who voted for the bill to join a suit against it after the 2020 election. The Pennsylvania Capital Star reports that when Act 77 was passed in 2019, a deal was struck by the Republican-controlled legislature with Democratic Governor Tom Wolf. In exchange for no-excuse mail balloting for any citizen, the Republicans got straight-ticket voting removed from the ballot. Then came President Donald Trump and his debunked narrative that fraudulent mail voting was to blame for his loss. Seemingly overnight, mail voting was perceived as unsecure and liberal-leaning by conservatives, and a suit brought by Pennsylvania Republicans argued that the legislature had overstepped its bounds. After a lower court struck it down, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said on August 2nd that the legislature did not overstep. In 2020, 2.63 million Pennsylvania voters used mail-in voting, one-third of them Republicans. Governor Tom Wolf said in a statement, "Voting is a fundamental right, a right that we should ensure is accessible to all voters. Mail-in voting is a safe, secure, and legal option for Pennsylvania voters to exercise that right." Articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
From 2009, this is Jim O'Rourke and his album The Visitor. All right, there is a little from Jim O'Rourke there on the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe here live in Accra, and we've got on the phone... I said it perfectly a moment ago, and I'm going to mess... All right, from the... you're the president of the board of the Restorative Center in Newburgh, and you're going to talk about a week of restorative justice in Hudson, August 15th through 21st. Is that correct?
Yes. So good morning, Tom. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak about restorative justice. And I'm the founder of the Restorative Center. We're in the Hudson Valley, and actually nationally now, because people have been reaching out over the last several years, just try to explore restorative justice and its potential in the workplace, in schools, in communities. And so it's been a really wonderful opportunity when people are looking for different ways of gathering and resolving and looking at things that divide us, to have a system of human engagement to offer. So that's what restorative justice really is to me. It's a potential for us to reimagine and revision together a pathway built on connectedness. So that's the philosophy of the Restorative Center, and we're so excited to partner with Hudson, New York. We've been working in Hudson for several years. We came to Hudson, New York to work with the Hudson Youth Center in 2021, actually. There was a little window. We had an opening there. We all had masks, but we did a training for the young leaders of Hudson, and that was amazing. And actually, 4 years before then, we worked with another organization in Hudson working with youth. So the idea of doing a week of restorative justice in Hudson is to really land the idea of reclaiming justice and the conversations around what justice is, to talk about issues that arise in communities in a facilitated manner. So we're training community leaders and anybody interested in learning this, actually, and youth leaders Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, no cost. It's supported by the city and nonprofits within Hudson, New York. And we are a nonprofit ourselves, so we all work together to make this happen. And then we're having community circles, which I would really like to encourage people to attend, on Friday from 6 to 8 at the Hudson Youth Center, Saturday, August 20th at Kite's Nest Garden, and then again on Sunday. And our website is therestorativecenter.org, where you can register to participate in circles. So that's an overview of what's happening next week.
So I think you summarized all my questions in one a little bit. So maybe we can expand on all that now.
Absolutely.
Tell us what people will encounter.
Okay. Well, if you come to the training, and we have some city leaders that are coming to the training, and youth activists, you will be introduced to a system of facilitating a conversation where, instead of the expected sort of public space conversations, where we enter a space and we start debating the pros and cons of our positions and get further and further far afield from each other, that you learn a system of entering these conversations of disconnect by first finding the connectedness amongst us all. So it sounds so abstract when I say it, but when we have run hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of circles now, and what we have seen consistently is that human beings are yearning for this space where we can sit together and remember who we truly are, individually and collectively. And then from there, we can sort of gather our resources. All of us have a piece of the puzzle to put down to figure out a path forward where we can build together. And I think, you know, this is the antidote to the divide and conquer world, which is thriving right now. And I understand that herbal remedies are not often the go-to when you're in the middle of an emergency, but this is sort of building in wartime. Like we're offering a path forward for when people are ready to gather and build together again. And I think a lot of us are ready. We're ready to sit down and have conversations, difficult conversations even. But when we start these, when we do these community circles that weekend, it's going to be an introduction to this ongoing process that we would recommend for a community. That one circle is obviously not going to address all the issues that may arise around gentrification or around race relations or about, you know, whatever the issues that are arising in communities, which are actually quite predictable now that, you know, in workplaces and schools everywhere. But we can at least begin the conversation in a way that is based on fundamental awareness of our own humanity, and that I would assert is the way that I know that I can advocate as a way forward, and that I have witnessed as the true power and potential of restorative justice.
And you know, the society as a whole is just. You know, you're working on a smaller scale in Hudson with, I don't know, do you get people that are just completely diverse in their political views or in their views
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, even when we've run circles for so-called affinity groups, like within an organizational workplace, right, even the so-called affinity groups, as we all know, has divergent views on how to move forward or what the real problems are. So we have not held space for the differences in a way that has been meaningful and useful for each other. So we have run circles for in situations and circumstances and within organizations that have had serious conflict. Let's just call them intergenerational conflict, right? The younger managers were senior managers. There are so many layers of our. Of armors that we have put up against each other, right? Whatever way you want to call it, that sort of removing the armors and getting to the root of the issue that is actually bringing us in a space together and then sort of building up from there. I'm repeating myself now, so I'm sorry. But yes, the answer is yes. And we've had these processes, when you learn how to facilitate them in a particular formation, even sitting in this, so we use the circle formation, right? So even sitting in a circle, there is a gift of just being non-reactive when somebody speaks, right? So if you're sitting in a circle and everybody's speaking in turn, you might hear something five people away and you have to wait, 10 minutes before you speak. There is some potential there, and we've seen this especially with young people and teens, that what we're really developing is the higher brain functioning instead of being a reactive brain. We can be more responsive. And the other thing that I would assert is accessing that more responsive self is a way to have more a wiser conversation around issues, right? Instead of just the, you said this, you know, and I'm going to yell at you, and then I'm going to yell at you. That's not really getting us anywhere. So sort of seeking the space for the wisdom of each one of us to be revealed. Because honestly, the young people have a lot to tell us about what it's like to be alive on this planet right now. And we have a lot we want to share about what it's been like for us and whatever wisdom we have from the journey. And those intergenerational conversations need to occur because we're losing tremendous generational wisdom. Because we've sold all our stories to the media to buy, you know, be sold back to us so we could buy merchandise. So there's a lot of reclaiming the human narrative that is an aspect of this process that I really love. And it's nothing more delicious than watching people share stories about their relationship to this planet, which is one of the components of our work that we use to build a foundation before we get to the areas of charge or disconnect, whatever you want to call it.
Can you explain why justice is in the title of your organization and how this kind of open discussion focuses on justice?
Right. So I am an attorney. I was a prosecutor in New Orleans and a public defender in New York City for many, many years, and also administrative law judge in the city. So I came to restorative. I came to this work looking for a sane response to conflict, right? So because I came to the conclusion that what we have in the criminal legal system is not, from a civilization point of view, a rational way to approach conflict and crime, and just putting people away and continuing the process again and again. So looking for the answer for, well, what would justice look like if we were creating a system that actually helped us evolve together from conflict instead of devolve as a result of conflict, I started looking for models, and I took a year and I studied many different models, and I came to the conclusion that none of them were really on point for this moment in time, but we created our own model that pulls threads from many different modalities, including like the Ayurvedic tradition, because I studied yoga and meditation, and I studied with a medicine woman. We pulled the medicine wheel ideas and figured that out, and we had people from volunteering from many different sort of backgrounds that came together to sort of understand storytelling, my love for storytelling and what it means, what kind of stories we're sharing. Okay, all of that to say is that to create a system that is community-based outside of the criminal legal system, but yet we can seek personal community justice amongst ourselves without engaging the power of the police state every time there is a conflict. It is, instead of just reacting to an event and calling the police, we can be responsive and think about what is causing these events, which are the lack of community. Obviously, how many times have people said that? We just don't have a community anymore. Well, how can we, in this modern age, where communities have to, from my point of view, can be redefined as a people that gather together, to build together, how can we create spaces for that formation? Because unless we have a way forward where we're listening and sitting, we are not going to get out of the paradigm that we seem to be stuck in. When there's a conflict, you call the police, somebody gets arrested, and then you feed the criminal justice matrix once more. So I am holding firm that this is a reimagining and reclaiming of justice. And within this paradigm, you can have community building circles, or you can have sentencing circles, because community voices and sentencing can be an integral part of what we can, as a community, can offer a voice to the criminal justice system. So when you engage with the criminal justice system, I believe you have to be conscious and careful, because it is such a powerful vortex of energy that it will suck you in. So even with restorative justice and how it intersects with criminal legal systems, I think is a process that needs deliberation and discernment. So I've just said a lot. I'm not sure if I lost what you were asking.
No, I got several things out of there. Me personally, I'm sure listeners got all kinds of things out of there too. But one of the things I got out of it was there are models like this outside of the political world. I mean, just like there's knitting groups that bring people together that are different, and they're not trying to work out problems, but it does address sort of what you're saying. Do you take models outside of sort of politics and justice issues?
Can you ask that question? I'm not sure what you're asking me. What do you mean, models outside of?
Well, I just mean, do you? I don't know exactly what I mean. I guess I was playing off of what I heard you say, and maybe I'll go from a whole different.
Well, I think what you're getting at is, what I'm trying to say is, this is not just let me just say it this way: the national conversation around the history of this country around race and the enslavement and people is a very, for me, from my point of view, an important conversation to hold space for. Because, like, how can we continue as a civilization without addressing our shadow? Just as human beings, we all have to address our shadows. We have to look at the things that we want to reject about ourselves or that we're ashamed about ourselves. And those shadows integrated into the whole self can lead to a healthier human being instead of living in shame. So this specific model that we use at this formation of a circle process, maybe that's what you meant by model. I ran a circle with in Jackson, Mississippi last year, and this year in New Orleans for Juneteenth, where in conjunction with the Legacy Project, families of people who were lynched in the South gather together in a circle space, in a public circle, meaning it was being recorded and broadcast and witnessed, to use this formation of a circle process to share stories and honor the past and create a vision to move forward together. So if that, and one of the participants, and it was like really the biggest honor, honestly, of my professional life, said that she had not wanted to work with the FBI around this investigation of her family member being lynched because she started losing faith in their ability to actually go deeper into the investigation. But after sitting in this process and having space held for her to say what she wanted to say, and share the story of what had happened and think about what she wanted to do moving forward, she said, this is what justice feels like. And there's a Cornel West quote, justice is what love is, what justice looks like in public. So like there is we've lost our way about what justice is. Like, justice isn't guilty, not guilty. Justice is a broader concept of, for me, it's sort of like, if you're thinking about the balance of, you know, the balance, the normal vision of the justice, it's like, yes, it is about coming to balance, but coming to balance also means looking at what's out of balance and looking at it and holding space for it and unraveling it and working with it. So the concept, I want to even reclaim the word justice and not just give it to the criminal legal system, so yes, the answer is yes, it is outside, but it is also within, because we work with lawyers who are working in the criminal justice system, and we teach them how to do this methodology. We work with them with conflicts that are rising. We work with people to come together to address how to resolve a particular conflict that has arisen, so that the conflict can actually help us all grow instead of further divide us. And it sounds abstract, but I've seen it land in a very specific way in many different ways, in many different circumstances.
Yeah, it sounds abstract, and it also sounds it's sort of difficult enough for society right now to even discuss issues about funding the police or bail reform or things like that. How do you get people to talk? How do you solve? You're trying to get people like to think and not react. Like you're on the internet and you see some comment and you just push a button and you yell back at somebody. You know that.
Right.
I'm not saying you, but that's what how people react on the internet. That seems like an even greater. If we can't discuss specific issues like police and bail reform and things like that, how can we solve the greater problem of people, hearing something and then going in their head and thinking, well, that means that, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Isn't that much more difficult?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. We have to, I mean, the way I know forward, the way I'm advocating for, I know one little thing. I don't know everything. I know this, that we can hold spaces that are structured and, they're highly structured, because I really teach structure of circles, right? It's not just putting the cheers in a circle and let's go to town. No, there has to be a method. It has to be as rigorous as trying a case, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm a trial attorney. So there is a rigor to it. There is a structure to how we sit together. It's sort of like, I try to, you know, talk about the medicine wheel in my understanding of it, which is, and this is an iconic idea from almost all ancient cultures, which is we have four directions, and to complete a journey, you touch upon all four. So you don't just sit in a circle and just go to one issue, like, what's dividing us? Let's talk about bail reform today. No, we have a series of circles. If we want to have a community conversation about bail reform, that would set as four circles in a series, maybe every Thursday for 1 month. And we are going to get to the issue of bail reform, but we're going to get to it from a deeper place. Like, what do we believe justice, what do we believe is appropriate in this community for who should be held in jail waiting for trial? Like, let's talk about it. Can people talk about what it's like when bail was set for $500 and somebody couldn't get out of jail to actually try the case and how it pushes pleas? Can somebody else talk about what it's like, how scary it is when people get out of jail and they recommit crimes? Like, let's hold space for this conversation. Let's be human together for a minute and think about all the different valid, you know, concerns that people have. Like, we don't want people languishing in jail. We also don't want people going around, you know, committing, you know, whatever crimes there are. We want to live in a community that feels like safe, and our kids are, you know, walking from school without worry. All of these things need to be held space for, because unless we hold space for it, we're just getting more and more enraged in our own little cages that we've created of separation. So let's hold space for it, and then gingerly, carefully, we get to the conversation around, well, what do we want to say about bail reform? What works about it? What doesn't work about it? Like, a rational, wise, thoughtful conversation that can get heated, but the heat is, we hold space for the heat because we have now understood that all of us are here because we care deeply about how to live in this world with greater ease. That's what we're looking for, right? And we can maybe build from there. Like, what does it look like for you in your place on this planet about this idea of bail reform? And if my grandson had to spend 5 days in jail because of a graffiti thing, then I have some things to share, and maybe you will hear them. So there is this, we have been giving all of our problems to the criminal legal system and saying, you solve them. And that system is not designed for that. It is not. It is designed to protect individuals from the tyranny of the state. That was what I love the Constitution. It was designed to protect us from the tyranny of the state. And we have turned that beautiful concept on its head. And I want the criminal legal system to reclaim what its mission is. And I want us as community members to reclaim our humanity, because I think both need to happen.
So feel free to correct me on the premise of this question if I'm wrong, but it seems like...
You know I won't hesitate.
Yes. It seems like it's... and this, I'm directing this directly to Hudson next week and how to get people involved in this. It seems like maybe the people that need this the most are probably the most reluctant to sign up.
We all need it. I'm sorry. I'm not giving anybody a free pass. We all need it. We all need to sit in a space and understand the experience of holding space for each other as a community. We all need it. We all need it. I don't think, because, you know, we're all self-righteous in our beliefs, all of us, 100%. So I don't think there's anybody, I really have never met anybody that, oh, you know, like, you know, maybe one day I'll meet some saint and he doesn't need to sit in a circle. But I would even say that she probably would need to sit in a circle, because we need to hear her wisdom in that formation. So it's for all of us.
So that sticks with my question then. How do you get people there if everybody says, I don't need that, I'm good?
Because they're going to come for, maybe they're curious. Maybe they're curious, like, what is this? And maybe they're like, it's so interesting because, you know, when we started first doing a pilot program in Newburgh I'd set up, the first circle, I remember I set it up in the basement of a historical church where, you know, it was just like a very, like, I set it up, 21 chairs. It's a community circle. No one's forced to be there. And I'm like, okay, I just quit my job to do this crazy restorative justice vision. What if nobody shows up? Like, right. I was like, I was totally ready for the party that you threw that nobody came to. But I've come to see that that mindset is not really, that's anti-restorative justice to have that mindset. I just do the work. We just set up the circles and people do show up. Because there is, I believe, a yearning to find a new way forward, that a yearning to sit in spaces with people that are different than us. Like, I do think that there is a yearning. Not everybody is going to be ready for a circle at a particular moment in time, but we just start where we are. Like, whoever shows up, shows up, and we build from there. I mean, I don't know any other way forward, right? Like, the first time the yoga teachers came from India, like, they were teaching, like, Iyengar for six years only had 5 students. They would just show up every week to learn yoga. Like, and now there are yoga studios everywhere you go on this planet. There is a yoga studio. So, you know, it's like you start where you are. Like, where else can you start?
Yeah, and ideas sort of spread like viruses. People don't understand, you know, how society changes, but it does change like one person at a time, really, right?
It has to. Each journey has to start from within, right? And each one of us that show up maybe sees the benefit of it and say, you know what, I'm gonna learn how to do this because I have a community that I want to have circles in place for, so that when issues come up, for example, when Newburgh had the crisis, but the understanding that their water had been poisoned for years, Gabby Burton Hill, Gabrielle Burton Hill, our Newburgh director program, she ran a series of circles called I Am Water, where they really, like, as a community, sat and talked about the water issue in Newburgh, and they developed a committee to address it and an active group. So there is, like, there are crises in each one of our communities, and one way or the other, that we can just start there, hold space for one thing, and let people have a voice. We're all very yang right now, right? And this is an opportunity to be a little bit more yin, which will help us find a little balance within ourselves, where we're receiving from each other some wisdom about the world. We're all very out, like, we're in a yang world. Everybody's ready, you know, like, that's what's charged up. And I honestly, the coming into the listening to each other and finding humanity within ourselves, even that we may have sometimes lose, is a restorative process.
Well, we need to hear from that person you just mentioned, because we've got PFSA in the water in Cairo, in Felicia, in New Lebanon, in Nassau, and Hoosick Falls up here. So it's not just...
Yeah, no, Gabrielle Burton Hill, her email is on our website. Our website's therestorativecenter.org. I'm sure that Gabriella would be a great resource to come start doing these kind of circles for the community, and also with the lessons learned from the activism of in Newburgh as a result of this process. We need both yin and yang in the world, right? We all have plenty of yang, and this is an opportunity for the yang, because we're not saying don't be angry. We're not saying don't go out and change the world and do things, but we also need to do it from a deeper, grounded place.
All right. Obviously, we could both talk about this for hours and hours, but we only have just a little more than a minute left before another show comes on and it's going to kick us off. So why don't you again tell people the details and how they can get involved and how they can turn out next week?
Okay, well, join us in Hudson, New York. If you want to be trained in how to facilitate a circle process, this is the intro training. We'll be happening Monday through Friday, 10 to 2. It's limited, but I think if you register, we can try to sort it out. And then if you can't do that, please come to our community circles, which are open to all, and come sit with us so that we can be strangers no more. Come Friday, August 19th from 6 to 8, or Saturday, August 20th from 11 to 1. The website is called therestorativecenter.org. and you can register there for